हरेर्मुहुस्तत् परकर्णपूरा गुणाभिधानेन विजृम्भमानया भक्त्या ह्यसङ्गा सदसत्यनात्मनि स्यान्निर्गुणे ब्रह्मणि चाञ्जसारथि Translation. The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constant hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. This verse is especially mentioned to substantiate the devotional process of hearing the subject matter. A devotee does not like to hear anything other than subjects dealing with spiritual activities or the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in our devotional life. The more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from the material world. The more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we increase in attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee who actually wants to make progress in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead, must lose interest in sense enjoyment and associating with persons who are after money and sense gratification. This is the advice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nishkinchanasya bhagavad bhajon mukhasya paramparam jigamishor bhavasagarasya sandarshanam vishayinam atayoshitam cha hahanta hanta vishavakshanatopya sadhu. The word Brahmani used in this verse, in the Bhagavatam verse, is commented upon by the impersonalists or professional reciters of Bhagavatam, who are mainly advocates of the caste system by demoniac birthright. They say that Brahmani means the impersonal Brahman, but they cannot conclude this with reference to the context of the word Bhaktya and Gunabhidhanena. According to the impersonalists, there are no transcendental qualities in the impersonal Brahman. Therefore, we should understand that Brahmani means in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as admitted by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, wherever the word Brahman is used, it must refer to Krishna, not to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti shabdyate. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan can all be taken in total as Brahman. But when there is reference to the word bhakti, or remembrance of the transcendental qualities, this indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the impersonal Brahman. Harer muhustat parakarna pura gunabhidhanena vidrimbhamanaya bhaktyakya sangha sadasatyanatmani syanirgune brahmani chanjasharati. The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constant hearing of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. At the very end of this Prabhupada's purport, he sort of shows some of his hermeneutical strategies that our acharyas use, and Prabhupada points this out here, makes this explicit, that how do we read the text? The verse here says, of course, nirgune brahmani, the brahman that has no qualities, that is devoid of qualities. And it's an expression that we've seen in a few verses earlier as well. This the Kumaras used the same expression. And so one might get the impression from this verse that we practice devotional service, we hear and chant, and then we become detached from this world, and then we become sort of fixed in the in this impersonal Brahman. But Prabhupada points out here that no, this is not the case, because the Lord is described in the beginning of the Bhagavatam that He's Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and those are the three features of the Absolute. And of course, in our tradition, this is the way we look at God. These are the three aspects of God. Other Vedantic traditions will look at it very differently. And generally, when the word Brahman is used, it refers to the aspect of the Lord that is totally devoid of any qualities, the impersonal aspect of the Lord. When the word Paramatma is used, we understand that this refers to the Lord in relation to His creation, as a Lord who is present in the heart. And if the word Bhagavan is used, we understand, oh, this is the full manifestation of the Lord. This is the manifestation of the Lord where all His Shaktis are exhibited, where all His Shaktis are there in their full power. Whereas with the other ones, with Paramatma, these Shaktis are partially suppressed. They're not fully manifest. And in Brahman, they're entirely suppressed. And there's no variety, there's no variegatedness there. So this is normally how we read it. When it mentions one of those three, we understand it refers to one of them. But the Bhagavatam verse in this thank you. So it's jnanam advayam. It's a non-dual knowledge. It's pure perception. So, in other words, our acharyas use this verse also to sort of pass the referent, if you want, to say that because it's non-dual, therefore, if the word Brahman is used, it can also, in some cases, refer to Bhagavan. And Prabhupada makes this explicit here, that here the word Brahman is used, but from the context, we have to understand that it's actually Bhagavan that is used. But because they're all the same, we can sort of pass the referent from Brahman to Bhagavan. Prabhupada says, because the... when there is reference to the word bhakti or remembrance of the transcendental qualities, this indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we understand that here we have to pass the referent up and all the way to Bhagavan. This is what is referred to here. Now, this verse is spoken by the Kumaras in response to the questions by Maharaj Prithu. And Prithu Maharaj, if you remember from a few weeks ago, he asked two questions. One was, how can someone that is attached to sense gratification attain good fortune? And the other one is, how can I quickly attain perfection? Of course, they're linked. And they're probably questions that many of us can relate to. It's a question that's often asked. That we practice devotional service, but how can we quickly? We want results quickly, and how can we that are attached to sense gratification attain good fortune? So these verses are the answer to that, and the Kumaras take us gradually through the different stages, and they describe different qualities or different activities that we have to acquire or practice. In order to obtain good fortune and in order to obtain quickly the ultimate goal. Now, of course, the qualities they describe, they're not just sort of randomly given. As Prabhupada points out in the purport every time, they point out that there's a sequence that first you do this, then you do that, then you do that. And in this way you sort of move up and advance in devotional service. And we've sort of started with this in the previous verse on Saturday. I don't know if you noticed, but there was no verb in that verse. And it just lists all these qualities, and now we get, in this verse, we sort of get where these qualities lead to. In the verse on Saturday, the qualities described were a lot sort of internal qualities and attitudes of non-violence, toleration, of the dualities, of not desiring anything, sort of to possess anything. And so then, once you've acquired these qualities, this is what happens next. This is the next phase in spiritual life. So we get Harir Muhus Tatpara Karnapura Gunabhidhanena. There's the narrations or the descriptions of the gunas, of the qualities of the Lord. And Prabhupada says this, he starts his purport, this verse is especially mentioned to substantiate the devotional process of hearing the subject matter. This is emphasized here, that by hearing about the qualities of the Lord, we progress in devotional life. He says, we can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We do not have the propensity for devotional service, but by hearing the messages of Krishna, by hearing the Bhagavatam, that taste, that propensity, that inclination for devotional service is reawakened. We've had in Prithu Maharaj, when the Lord appeared before him, he had these beautiful prayers that basically say the same thing. And my favorite verse of that is this very beautiful image that he uses. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudha kananila smritim puna vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyo vinamno vitaratyalambarai. That the narrations of the descriptions of your qualities, uttama shloka, they're like the breeze that flies, it's a complex metaphor he uses there. It's like a breeze that blows over your lotus feet, and lotus have pollen in them, so they carry the pollen of your lotus feet. And the breeze is, of course, the narrations by great devotees. They narrate the stories of Krishna, and from the context it's clear later on. It says that the Lord is situated in their heart. So from their heart, these speeches, these descriptions well up, and they carry the pollen that's on the lotus feet of the Lord. But that lotus, that pollen, when you smell it, when we come in contact with it, then it does puna vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyoginam no vitaratya lambarai. For those who are kuyogis, for those who are bad yogis, and who have forgotten the path and which direction to go, it awakens their memory, and they become sort of fixed again, and they know, okay, this way we have to go. This is what we have to do. So the description that's given here is you have the narrations of the gunas, and they're said to be tatpara karnapura. They're said to be the karnapura, the ornamentation of the ornament of the ear of the tatpara, of those that are fully devoted to the Lord. And of course, you can all guess what this makes me remind of. Kavi Karnapura, who is the ear ornament of poets. It's a nice expression that you have the ornament of the ear, that their ears are decorated by it. It's not just saying they listen to it, but it's their ears are decorated by it. Their ears are made beautiful by by hearing the descriptions of the Lord. You have this beautiful verse by Kavi Karnapura, which some say gave his name. Shavaso kuvalayam akshno ranjanam mahendra manidam vrindavana ramaninam mandanam akilam harir jayati. He says, all glories to Hari, all glories to Krishna. He is the blue lotus behind the ears of the gopis, or that decorates the ears of the gopis. He's the kohl, the what do you call that dark stuff ladies put on their eyes. Sorry? Mascara, yeah. Anyway, all these things. He's the mascara they put on, they put around their eyes, and he's the Mahendra Manidama, the the garland or the necklace of the sapphire is blue, right? I always mix them up. Let's say sapphires are blue. So of sapphires, and then Kavi Karnapur says, Vrindavana Ramanina Mandanam Akilam, that the Lord, He's all the ornaments of the ladies of Vrindavan. Now what Kavi Karnapur is saying with that verse is of course that the Lord is the blue lotus behind their ears, meaning that's the only thing they hear. They only hear about Krishna's qualities. He's the mascara on their eyes. Krishna is the only thing they see, and Mahendra Manidama, he's the necklace of sapphires around their neck. It's the only thing they want to embrace, and therefore Krishna is the ornament of all of them. So the gopis have attained the verse here says that the devotees, their ears are ornamented by the narrations of the Lord. The gopis, of course, for them everything is ornamented by the Lord. The Lord is their entire ornament. Everything all their senses are only focused on the Lord. So therefore, their senses are fully ornamented by the Lord. But it starts with the hearing. It's this verse sort of emphasizes. You start with the descriptions, hearing the descriptions of the qualities of the Lord, and what happens then? Then you go vidrimbhamanaya. Then your devotion literally grows, sort of increases. And Prabhupada makes this very explicit. He says that the more we hear, the more we make advancement. The more our devotion and our propensity for devotional service grows. Now what happens then? Once our devotion has grown, where do we go then? Then it says, Hyasanga sadasatya anatmani. Then detachment arises, detachment from this world. So we go hearing, increasing of devotion, and then detachment. The expression is very interesting. One becomes detached from anatmani, that which is not the self, that which is not the Lord. And one loses interest in anything that is the Lord, that is not the Lord. In Prabhupada's purport, he sort of brings this in, sort of connects this with a theme that's not explicitly in this verse. Prabhupada says that a devotee who actually wants to make progress in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead, must lose interest in sense enjoyment and associating with persons who are after money and sense gratification. And this theme of avoiding the association of worldly people is carried over from a few verses before, if you remember, where this was very heavily stressed. And he quotes this quite a heavy verse again, Kavi Karnapura, which Mahaprabhu spoke to Sarvabhaum Bhattachary when Sarvabhaum Bhattachary said, I think you should meet this very nicely devoted king, Maharaj Pratapa Rudra. He's a great devotee and I think you should meet him. And Lord Chaitanya speaks this verse in response. And he says, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukhasya. For one who's interested in the bhajan of the Lord, in the worship of the Lord, and who's niskinchanasi, who has rejected everything material, and has no material possessions. Param param jigamishor bhavasagarasya. For one who wants to cross over the bhavasagara, the bhavasagara, the ocean of existence, of worldly existence, who wants to reach the other shore. Sandarshanam, just seeing, vishayinam atayoshitam cha. Ha hanta hanta vishabhakshanatopya sadhu. That for someone who's engaged in devotional service and who's interested, who wants to cross the ocean of material existence, seeing a person who is materially attached or who sort of likes to associate with women, that is worse than eating poison. ha hanta hanta vishabhakshanatopya sadhu. It's very strong. Ha hanta hanta means like alas, alas, alas. It's the lamentation that somebody who wants to do that, who wants to cross over the ocean of material existence and at the same time associate with worldly people, that is worse than eating poison, meaning it leads straight to death. It nothing good comes from it. So we have this very strong verse here, and this very strong emphasis in, you find it in all our books, that one should reject the association of non-devotees, and one should reject one should become detached from anything that's of this world, and it's a topic that's not particularly favorite amongst devotees, I get the impression. We often look down on renunciation and detachment and so on, and we say, well, Rupa Goswami says that by too much renunciation the heart becomes hardened, and therefore it's not favorable for devotional service, and therefore we should not practice renunciation, we should not practice vairagya, it's a dangerous thing, stay away from it, or you know, don't get too close to it in any case. We're missing a point. If that's sort of our attitude, we're missing a very crucial point. And that's what is in this verse, that one starts with hearing, and from hearing the propensity for devotional service increases. But then before you attain rati, which is the final stage that's described in this verse, before you attain attachment to the Lord, there should the detachment from the world should arise. And the detachment from the world and from sense enjoyment and sort of a spirit of renunciation should naturally take sort of control of us and should naturally manifest in our heart before we can attain the love of Krishna. One can also look at it differently, sort of flip it around a bit. If we do not attain that, if we do not attain that detachment, perhaps we're not making sufficient advancement in devotional service. That attachment should come automatically. The Bhagavatam says repeatedly that jnana and vairagya, when one does bhakti, jnana and vairagya automatically come. So if that doesn't come, perhaps we're not doing something right. If by engaging in devotional service, we get more and more attached to material things and more attached to material things like fame or material objects or the association of worldly people, perhaps we're not doing something right. The verses after this will go on that this verse only takes you up until rati, and then it will go on that after rati, after you've attained love of Krishna, what happens is this detachment will increase more and more. And the next verse will say that you become fully detached, not just from your body, but also from your sense of self. And you'll get this expression that the Lord, the Paramatma and the Atma will become one. And Prabhupada says that there'll be just the Atma, the soul will be practically will be indistinguishable from the Paramatma because he has no self-interest. His self is totally gone and is just the Lord is there. The interest of the Lord is there and that's all that remains. And a little later you get this very interesting expression that when that happens, then the external activities and the internal activities of such a devotee are equal. If you're not at that stage, externally you're often doing something differently than you're doing internally. Externally you go to the morning program, internally you wonder, I could have stayed in bed, or perhaps I'm thinking about something entirely different. But then the external and internal activities continue. So we go from hearing to attach to an increase of devotional service to a detachment from the world. And unless we attain that detachment from the world, we cannot attain attachment to the Lord. So it's getting rather late. I'll stop here. If there's any comments or questions.
Well, usually you hear it kind of the other way.
Usually we hear that by attachment to the Lord, detachment arises. You see here that the detachment is not the first thing you start with. If you're a Mayavadi, that will be the first thing you start with. It's you detach yourself entirely from world. You take sannyas, you renounce the world, and you devote yourself to study of Vedanta. Here, this is not how it starts. You start with devotional service, and you start with the Shravanam Kirtanam, and that will Vijrimbhamanaya Bhaktya, that will increase the devotion. So there is an attraction there already. That attraction is not sort of fully manifest. It's sort of not complete yet. But there is an attachment there, and from that attachment, from the engagement in these devotional activities, then the detachment arises, and one becomes sort of disinterested in material life. Well, it seems that way.
Because it is said that detachment and knowledge will come naturally, so sometimes devotees will say, well, I don't feel that I should give this up because it will come naturally, so if I'm not feeling it, why should I give it up? If I give it up, it will be artificial and just give me into trouble.
That may be the case in some cases, but the point is that you can easily use it as an excuse and say, "Oh, I don't need to be detached because it will come automatically, and therefore I do not need to worry about it." But the point is that if you do not get detached, if that spirit of detachment does not come sort of internally, perhaps you're not making advancement in devotional service, because the Bhagavatam says repeatedly that this will happen. So if you remain constantly, you know, sort of absorbed in materialistic topics and associate with worldly people and are interested in sense gratification while you perform devotional service, it seems you are not making advancement. Maharaj?
Yeah, I think it's exactly the opposite. If you think, I'm going to remain attached to the objects of the senses, and by devotional service, I'm going to overcome them. That's not what it exactly says. If you actually fully engage in yourself in devotional service, then automatically you become detached from the objects of the senses. But if you maintain material attachments, then even after chanting the holy name from millions of births, you won't still get love of God.
Yeah.
You mentioned that if this attachment doesn't come to something, you may probably do something wrong with that role completely.
One thing is what Maharaj was saying, that you sort of want to have the best of both worlds. You want to have the enjoyment of sense gratification, and at the same time you want to sort of have the spiritual the benefits of spiritual life as well. Jiva Goswami in quotes this very interesting verse that he says, someone who's interested in devotional service but at the same time in sense enjoyment, he says they're not compatible, and he quotes this verse that says that how can you, if you're moving to the west, how can you catch an object that's moving to the east? In other words, if you're moving to sense gratification, how can you catch something that's moving to the other side, namely devotional service? You cannot you'll never reach it. You'll just get farther and farther removed from each other. So that's one thing. Offenses are there, of course, too. That one can make offenses, and they prevent you from advancing in devotional service.
Usually, say you put aside the material attachment, and then when you engage fully in devotional service, you come to the platform of acceptance, and at this platform of acceptance, then material attachments automatically just go away.
Yes.
What does it mean to maintain
material attachment? It means that you're chanting Hare Krishna and the mind is saying this and being doing that. And instead of actually just forgetting it and just concentrating on chanting better, you just think on what the mind is saying. Instead of utilizing the time for focusing the attention on Krishna, we utilize the time for focusing on what the mind is telling. We won't even give it up even when we're supposed to be chanting.
Bhaktisiddhanta has that interesting story of a boy who's he's really tired and very hungry, and he's sort of embracing a pillar to keep him up, otherwise he would fall down and fall asleep, and he's sort of hanging on to this pillar, and he's lamenting, oh, I'm very hungry, and somebody comes to him with a plate of prasad and says, well, here I brought you some prasadam, so now you can eat. And the boy, you know, sort of doesn't want to let go of the pillar and says, yes, now you have to put it in my mouth. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati uses this story to say this is a person, a devotee, who is sort of attached to material sense enjoyment and doesn't want to let it go. And if the boy would just sort of let go and sit down and honor prasadam, then he would get strength again and he would sort of be healthy and strong again. But he doesn't want to let go of the attachment, so therefore he's unable to eat. So Bhaktisiddhanta says this is like a devotee who's holding on to material attachment and therefore will not grow in spiritually and sort of get spiritually strong. So at some point you do have to kind of sort of let go. And of course the desires may remain, but if you're... if you're not nourishing those desires, then they'll disappear in due course of time. But if you keep feeding the fire, then you know it will never sort of die out. Anyway, Kramtiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.